This is Mental Selling. This is the sales podcast for people that are dedicated to making a difference in customers' lives and have a purpose beyond just a paycheck. I'm your host, Will Milano. Let's get right into the show. All salespeople benefit from good coaching. That's indisputable. But when is coaching actually not the answer? When does a salesperson need coaching? And when do they actually need mentoring? What's the difference? And which situations are best served by each? Welcome back to Mental Selling, your favorite sales podcast. I'm Will Milano, and today my guest is very well suited to answer these questions for us. I'm pleased to have Lauren Margolis join me today. Lauren is an executive coach and the founder of TLS Leaders based in New York. She is also a regular contributor on leadership to Forbes.com. And some of you may actually remember Lauren as our guest a couple of years ago on what became our episode number 22, Developing the Sales Coaching Mindset in Your Sales Leaders. So Lauren, thank you so much again for being with me here today.
It's my pleasure, Will. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back. As we talked about previously, I've been planning to have you back for a while, and I read something that you had put on LinkedIn a few weeks ago, which spurred us into a conversation for today. So thanks.
My pleasure.
So let's get started by just getting really clear about the difference between coaching and mentoring.
Sure. First of all, they're both tools that you use to develop your people. So they do have many similarities to begin with. The relationship, the conversations and philosophy of both are both growth oriented. They help you to grow. They also have defined roles, which help you to achieve clear and transparent goals. The mission of both mentoring and coaching is to meet both individual and organizational goals. They not only differ in their approach, though, they're used in different situations, and the person doing the mentoring or doing the coaching holds different roles. And many people confuse them and sometimes use them at the wrong time. So coaching, first of all, coaching empowers you to learn rather than teaches you. A coach uses your own thoughts, ideas, experience to help you come up with solutions to solve your problems and a way forward. And it uses a question-based approach to unearth your own wisdom. So it really is a process that assumes that the one being coached knows the answers. Whereas mentoring is teaching, is telling, is sharing, is showing. A mentor is a trusted counselor who guides you to achieve your goals based on their knowledge. And it assumes that the one doing the mentoring knows more than you and therefore will share their wisdom to help you grow.
Yeah, the word guide came to mind as you started talking about that as one of the differences might be, yeah.
Guide is a big difference. Guide is almost like a Sherpa, someone who knows the way forward and leads you, whereas a coach enables you to lead yourself. There's some very fine lines here, but when you experience it and also when you do each of them, there is a stark difference.
So to get deeper, let's get deeper into helping people sort of understand those fine lines. So each is obviously very important, as you've outline for us. Let's dig a little bit deeper into when coaching is needed and when mentoring would be more appropriate, and maybe what sort of signs to look for that'll tell you which approach is most relevant.
So signs, that's a good word to use. If your employee has the skills and has the ability to complete the task or to navigate a situation, but they're struggling with confidence, coaching is the best approach to help them. Or if they have obstacles that you, as their leader, believes that they can resourcefully overcome because they've either done it before or done something similar, right? Those transferable skills. A coaching approach is the best way to help them move forward. So you ask them open-ended, curious questions that prompt them to unearth their own wisdom. Whereas if an employee needs to develop specific skills to complete a task, either they're new to a task, they're new to an organization, or they're not new to an organization, but they just haven't done it before, coaching is not the right approach. So for example, you don't teach an employee how to create an annual sales plan for the first time by asking them open-ended, curious questions, right? You're not unearthing their own wisdom. They don't have it yet. So they learn by you teaching them brand new skills by mentoring them. You share your expertise by giving them step-by-step instructions. Another work situation, for example, and I think this is what drew you and me on LinkedIn together for this conversation, is when an employee doesn't have the inner wisdom to tap into when there's organizational politics at hand, for example. Standard operating procedures are easy to spot, right? But if your employee is in a situation where they are not familiar with company politics, for example, it's those unspoken norms and nuances that need to be taught. So it's not just the task that needs to be taught during mentoring, but it's also organizational or relational awareness as well.
Yeah, it speaks more to when you're talking about sort of organizational politics. It's not a skill set necessarily, but it's related to experience or lack thereof. And we talk a lot about, right, developing salespeople being a mix of focusing on skill set and mindset. The mentoring piece addresses the skill set side, whereas coaching, again, is that mindset piece.
Yes, coaching is more of the mindset piece, although mentoring can also help you to expand your mindset by seeing around corners that your mentor knows about, but you might not be aware of. It's important to know also that these situations, whether you coach or whether you mentor, is something actually that, and I'm using air quotes here, is something that you diagnose together with your employee. It's not something that you say to yourself and you just do as their leader. You want to have your employee agree upon the approach because A, it helps you to check your understanding of their knowledge, their inner wisdom, or their inner knowledge, or lack thereof. And it also helps you to come to an agreement on the approach, which helps to engage them more in those conversations.
And make sure that they have buy-in, right? Either way.
Exactly.
So they're going to have that confidence. So we know that there are things like motivation and self-confidence and achievement drive. Those are highly essential to any salesperson's success. From your perspective, how do coaching and mentoring both fuel those things?
Coaching is a wonderful tool to fuel motivation and self-confidence because it assumes that you or the person being coached is resourceful, that you already know what to do. Remember, coaching unearths your own knowledge and experience that you may have either forgotten or have not quite connected the dots yet. The leader as coach serves as your strategic thought partner, helping you to brainstorm and think through difficult situations or solve problems. When you're able to use your own wisdom, your own head and heart to come up with solutions and solve your own problems, that's extremely motivating. It's empowering. Now, when you have a wise guide or a Sherpa supporting you like a mentor, you feel more confident because you can rely on someone showing you, teaching you the ropes. It enables your, I'll call it your achievement drive, because you're given and you're taught the tools that you've never had, which expands your capabilities as well. So mentoring is an incredible gift that a leader gives to someone else. And that can be incredibly motivating as well.
And you used the word empowering before, and I think that applies on both sides of the ledger here, right? That mentoring and coaching are both about empowering people, but
in different ways. Exactly.
I read a lot of the stuff that you write for Forbes and that you put on LinkedIn and things like that. And you've written a lot about both critical thinking and creating self-reliance. And those are both such, again, essential aspects of being a successful salesperson. It sounds like those are a big part of what coaching helps develop, but that takes consistent dedication over time to develop those things, doesn't it? It's not a check-the-box exercise or something that can just be done during somebody's onboarding to an organization, that sort of thing, right?
It's almost a self-perpetuating or a virtuous cycle. When you are motivated and self-reliant, you have your own will, you create your own results. And then with that comes the inspiration to become or continue to be self-reliant. In sales, you own your own desk, right? You run your own business. And self-reliance is foundational to your success. And when your leader coaches you, they're enabling you to develop self-reliance because it gives you the independence. It proves to you that you can do things on your own because it taps into your own knowledge and wisdom. So you would walk away from a coaching conversation saying, boy, they helped me think of that. You walk away from a mentoring conversation saying, boy, I'm glad that they thought of that. And keep in mind also that mentoring and coaching, you talked about repeated measures in order to create self-reliance and critical thinking. They also don't have to be lengthy conversations. They don't even have to be sit-down conversations. And that's one of the biggest misperceptions that leaders have. Oh, I have to go and have a long coaching conversation. Or mentoring requires a 30-minute or an hour-long virtual meeting. It doesn't. You can use what I like to call mentoring micro moments, right? Or mini coaching moments.
Because that can be something, one of the reasons that sales leaders don't coach is they talk themselves out of it because they have this idea in their head for what the time commitment's going to be. They can be those micro moments or in the moment sort of thing that are not lengthy by any means, but they can be really effective still.
Absolutely. And it doesn't take 30 minutes or even 15 minutes to really to listen, to ask one or two open-ended questions and to create a way forward. It also doesn't take that long to listen as a mentor and to teach them or to give them advice. It could take 5 minutes to do both.
So when it comes to both coaching and mentoring, what is investing in coaching and mentoring? What does that say to salespeople when they're on the receiving end of it? And conversely, when an organization or their leader they're reporting to doesn't, what does that communicate?
You use the word investing, and that's really the operative word here, is that when you go to work for a company, you are investing your time, you're investing your energy, you're investing your head and your heart into your success and the company's success. When the company signals to you that they want to invest in you as well through coaching or through mentoring, whether it's a formal coaching engagement with an external coach or a formal mentoring program, or it is simply in those day-to-day mentoring and coaching conversations that your leader has with you, it signals that they are motivated to invest in you and that they are truly interested in your career growth. And what that does is not only drives an employee engagement and motivation, but it increases retention.
It's such a huge issue in sales. It's something like 3x.
Yeah, because in sales, salespeople are extremely self-motivated. And if they're not seeing that return, that ROI, then they're going to go elsewhere. And of course, salespeople are driven by money, by compensation, and other things. However, at the same time, it's been spoken and proven that investing in career growth and career development and human growth is one of the major tools to help your salespeople stay.
They want to feel valued as people, as employees, absolutely. What does feedback look like? We talk a lot about giving salespeople feedback. What does feedback look like when it's coaching versus mentoring? And what sort of feedback should a salesperson expect or even in some cases, proactively ask for from each?
I personally don't think that feedback conversations differ between a coaching versus a mentoring approach. So for example, when a leader is giving their sales employee feedback. I think it's important for the leader to pivot between coaching and mentoring. If you teach someone, you open the conversation by sharing your observation, by sharing the situation and sharing their behavior and what they've just done is productive or helpful or not. And the impact, that's teaching, that's telling. And then you flex or you pivot and ask them what they think and what they'd like to do next based on that information. So I think a productive and effective feedback conversation is one that uses both.
You're right, because you probably really should pivot in the moment from one to the other in the same regard, yeah.
Because if you open the conversation with a coaching question, for example, and your employee, let's say that they don't know why they're having this conversation with you, and it's constructive feedback that you want to share, and you open the conversation by saying, how do you think that sales meeting went? You're setting them up to say, oh, I think it went great. And then you're going to come in and say, no, it didn't. Or I'm not quite sure what you're looking for. So there's questions that arise if you open it up first with a coaching question. Now, when the employee comes to you and asks for feedback themselves, then you can certainly open with a question like, what do you think? You know, because they're open, they're making themselves vulnerable first.
So in your work, when you talk and work with leaders specifically about coaching, what are some of the steps that you advise them to take in their approach?
In my work, I'm both an executive coach to senior leaders in organizations, and I also teach leaders how to coach or use a coaching approach with their employees. And the steps are similar, whether you are executive coach or leader is coach. And the first step I recommend is to create psychological safety. And psychological safety is the belief that you won't be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, with questions, with concerns or mistakes. It's foundational actually to both mentoring and coaching because you have to admit that you don't know something, right? Or be open to learning in order to grow. And so humans have to be vulnerable in order to be coached first. And once you've established that foundation, it's important then as leader, as coach, to listen to understand. And what I mean by that is to not only listen to the words that your employee is using to describe their situation, but also to look for and listen for the tone, the feelings, the intent behind what they're saying. So a leader who is a coach uses that, it's almost a human intuition to pick up on the other things that are really important to your employee. And then based on that, you can ask purposeful, that's my third step, open-ended questions. So questions that begin with what? What is so important about this situation? Or what do you think is impacting X? Or whatever the question is, or how do you think that it should have gone, an open-ended question that gets the employee to share more versus a closed-ended question that really they can only answer by saying yes or no, or give you data, 10. I think there were 20, that kind of thing. And also be aware of starting your questions with why. So unless there is a tremendous amount of psychological safety, why can sound, you know, it can sound a little judgy. Why do you think that? Why do you think that was the best approach?
Right. It can sound like the person's being tested. You know, I know what the answer is. Let's see if you get it right. That's right. It can come across that way, can't it?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the opposite of coaching. And every why question can be re-asked starting with what. And as they're sharing their ideas, you want to challenge them and say, tell me more about that. Or I wonder if that may be the best approach. Let's talk more about this. And you want to support them. So just because a leader is coaching their employee doesn't mean that they're giving them free rein to come up with their own solutions and then walk away if it's a bad solution. So that's why I say the next step is challenge and support, because it's your responsibility as their leader to say, well, hang on a second, that might not be the best approach. Ah, and now you're pivoting into mentoring, and let me tell you why. Okay. And coaching is only coaching if you end with action and ownership. So a lot of times people think that coaching are these kind of open-ended conversations that where you're just sharing your thoughts and then you're going on your merry way. And it's really the opposite.
Yeah, because they have to have next steps and accountability tied to them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the conversation or toward the end, as you're hearing it shape up into action steps or a way forward, then start to ask close-ended questions because you're starting to close the conversation. What do you think you'd like to do next? That's actually an open-ended question. A close-ended question would be, so who's going to do what? Or what can I do? What I'm saying is you're going to do this. Yes.
Are you going to do this by X date? Are you going to X number of calls or client meetings by the time we meet next week, whatever that might be? Yeah.
Exactly. And then finally, the coaching conversation might have ended in that moment, but there has to be ownership afterwards, and there has to be follow-up and follow-through.
And that goes back to the consistency aspect of coaching too, right? Because it's got to happen on a consistent basis so that you can continue those conversations and reconnect from what you talked about last time, right? So that's why you can't coach like once every 4 months, right?
Exactly. You have to connect the dots. This is one long string of conversations that are integrated into each other. You can think of it actually from a macro perspective as one conversation that you have with an employee throughout the year. They may be separated weekly or even monthly, but there's always follow-up. And to be an effective coach within your organization, it does take consistency.
That consistency is oftentimes what we see lacking from a coaching standpoint. It might happen in pockets here or there, but that consistency is, like you were saying, so important. When it comes to salespeople then getting good mentoring, is that best done by a peer, another person on the sales team that maybe is just longer tenured than them, either in general or with the organization? Is it a senior leader within the organization, somebody from a different function? Like, who tends to be best suited for mentoring roles? And I ask that both from the standpoint for the organization, as well as if you're a salesperson, maybe being on the lookout for who you want to maybe advocate for mentoring you, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. You can be mentored by a peer, and you can be mentored by your leader who uses a mentoring approach. However, I advocate for, if you're creating a formal mentoring program, when I create these programs for the organizations that I work with, it's a best practice to pair mentors and mentees from different functional areas. And there's two reasons for that, is that mentoring should be seen as separate from performance management, or formal mentoring relationships should be seen as separate. And so therefore, your formal mentor shouldn't be your manager, because you want to be able to have that psychological safety to say things, to share things that your mentor, who is not doing your end of the year performance reviews or managing your performance, is able to hear and not make decisions about your career or your salary. That doesn't mean that your manager can't also use a mentoring approach, but with formal programs, also having a mentor in another function, what it does, it's a great opportunity to give you access and knowledge and visibility into other areas of the organization. And that is key to career growth as well. Now, you would ask the question about peer mentoring. Peer mentoring is a wonderful opportunity to connect one-on-one with someone who's kind of your hierarchical equal in an organization. And it usually begins with the kind of a mutual relationship or request, and one person is mentoring the other person more often than the other because they know something more than you do. But then the mentoring can switch. So for example, a newcomer in an organization may start off as the learner or the protege, but as the relationship grows, they usually then switch hats and the mentor becomes the mentee and teaches them something that they didn't know in the organization as well. So it's a relationship then that develops into co-learning.
It's a good distinction because I can see mentoring, or you've talked about it in three ways. There's peers, and then there's getting mentoring from your manager, which is important. But there's also that mentoring you can get from people that are maybe above you or at least longer tenured, but in other functions. Because it goes back to what you talked about earlier, the example of being able to navigate company structure and processes and politics and things like that, that people that are in different functions can help do for you, right? They can help you navigate those things and just also help you probably as a salesperson understand how you're showing up in the room internally, right?
So they have a different perspective than your leader. They have more, even though they're inside your organization, they have a bit more of an external perspective because they're in a different functional area than you or a different part of the organization and can lend the kind of expertise that your leader can't.
And that's a peer mentoring aspect that can, sounds like it can have a very positive effect on collaboration across a sales team, can it not?
Absolutely. So whether it's a formal peer mentoring program that you can create within your organization, or if you encourage people to have mentoring conversations together, what that does is it deepens trust in the organization, right? Because you have to have trust and psychological safety in order to mentor. It enhances collaboration and communication. So you really can't go wrong with whether it's a formal or an informal peer mentoring situation.
And it's great advice to attack mentoring from several different angles, like you were talking about. It's not just one thing. And I think that's a distinction that I've learned in this conversation, that actually from a leadership standpoint, that they should be doing both coaching and mentoring.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are two different things, right? One is teaching and guiding, and the other one is unearthing the person's own wisdom.
Helping them find the answers beneath the surface that they have themselves that maybe they don't have the confidence or belief that they do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's important to also know that when you are creating a, let's say, a formal mentoring situation, that you create rules for the road, right? That you have a contract of sorts between mentor and mentee. With informal mentoring, there's an unspoken contract, right? Where the mentor is teaching, is showing the mentee. Also, let's keep in mind is that even when you have a mentor and a mentee relationship, frequently the mentee can become the mentor. So when you have a more senior leader in an organization paired with a junior employee, that employee can still share and teach their mentor things that they don't know. So new approaches, new technologies, because they're paired from different functional areas, the mentee can also teach their mentor what's going on in their area, etc. So it's a mutual learning experience on both sides.
This just came to mind. Are there functional areas that might fit best when you talk about getting mentoring from somebody in a different part of the organization that might fit best for somebody that's in a sales role? Does anything come to mind?
I say don't limit yourself. When I've created formal mentoring programs for organizations, for sales organizations, I've seen it work whether you pair sales with technology, sales with strategy, sales with human resources, or other operational roles. I think that if you want to grow as a salesperson, then you need almost like a, I'll call it your own rotational program where you can learn from any functional area.
That's a good point. It can rotate, right? You can pair yourself up with this person for this quarter and that person for the next quarter. That probably helps you get a more well-rounded perspective on the organization in general. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I would encourage that if you're in an organization that doesn't have a formal mentoring program and you want to get a mentor or have a mentor, that you think about the areas that you are least familiar with that would be helpful for you to understand more so you can learn and grow. And because mentoring can have a defined beginning and end, you can get an additional mentor in another area.
That's really good. Anything else, Lauren, from your standpoint, any other best practices that you've seen that you just want to share, whether it's around mentoring or coaching in general?
Sure. A couple of best practices that I would share with leader as coach or leader as mentor is that it's not something that you do to the other person. Mentoring is not something that you do to someone, and coaching is not something that you do to someone. It comes from an agreement that arises from a conversation that makes the person being mentored and helps the person being coached open to both of them. So that's the first best practice. The second best practice that I would leave you with is something that we alluded to earlier, which is I think people overcomplicate coaching and they overcomplicate mentoring, thinking that there needs to be this long time investment. And the questions have to be so perfectly open and so perfectly asked. And the setting has to be so perfect as well. It doesn't. You can actually mentor someone through a post-it note and leave them a little bit of advice on their computer when they walk in the morning. You can coach someone actually when you're standing getting your coffee next to them. So that's the second key that I would leave you with as well.
Or through a text or something like that at the start or end of a day, whatever it might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Little micro moments.
That's a great piece of advice. Lauren, thank you so much again for being here. I think this is a great topic. And again, as soon as I saw you talking recently about this on LinkedIn, I knew it was going to be a great fit for the show. So thanks for coming to the show today and sharing your perspectives. I think it's hugely valuable both for the individual salespeople that listen to this as well as people that are in sales manager roles.
Thank you, Will. It was a pleasure.
And for our listeners, I appreciate, as always, you listening from wherever and whenever you might be listening. You can find and follow Lauren Margolis on LinkedIn, as well as on Twitter at Lauren Margolis. That's L-O-R-E-N. And much more from her on her website, which is tlsleaders.com. So thank you all again for listening to us today. Please be sure to leave us a comment or a rating or review wherever you might be hearing this. Feel free to scroll back and listen to any previous episodes you might have missed. And we look forward to having you join us again very soon next time. Thanks again. Thank you for listening. And I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Mental Selling. Please make sure that you're subscribed. And as always, leave us a comment or a rating. Share it with your networks. You'll get more content like this on our website at integritysolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Will Milano with Integrity Solutions. Thanks very much again for being with us.